Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Almost 30 years ago, I had the opportunity to travel to the country of Ukraine with a local Baptist church near my house to work in an orphanage and teach vacation Bible school for 2 weeks. At night, after the days filled with Bible school, the village of people would gather at the village church and join in for worship. And because I was traveling with a Baptist church, our trip leader told us in our preparatory time before the trip that each night there would be a part of the church service where we would have time for someone to offer their testimony, which is a personal account of one's faith journey and relationship with God. And so she told us to be ready with ours. Now, as a born and raised Lutheran girl, this terminology was rather new to me. I grew up in a family who did daily devotions at dinner time. So I was familiar with the importance of a faith journey, but offering a prayer out loud, even in front of my family, was hard enough. So to think of getting up in front of a whole church to offer a verbal testimony of my life of faith in Jesus Christ made me want to quit being part of the trip on the spot. I told our leader, and I will always remember her gospel, grace-filled response. She said, "Becca, your verbal testimony is not a prerequisite of this trip. The way you live your life speaks your faith. We Baptists are used to putting words to our faith experience, but I know this isn't a big part of your faith tradition. The Holy Spirit works in many ways, beyond words alone. The testimony is intended to be a word of grace. It's gospel, not law. The Holy Spirit will lead you." Those words of wisdom in that moment continue to guide me today. Today's Bible story gets at that wisdom as well. It's all about the power of the Holy Spirit as we've been journeying through the book of Acts. We see the acts of the Holy Spirit come to life through the very people whom God has called. And with today's story, we hear a testimony given by Peter and John and all who witnessed the healing. But you need to know what happened actually in the chapter before us, because Peter and John are giving testimony to the healing of a man who was unable to walk, which is mentioned in the chapter right before. So I'm going to give you a little synopsis of what precedes what you just heard Pastor Cieslik lead. In the chapter immediately ahead, we hear of a man who has been unable to walk for more than 40 years, and so he sits at the temple gate waiting for people to give him alms, because that's where people would come each day for prayer. Peter and John happen to be two of these people who walk by, and when he asks them for alms, Peter and John look intently at him, and they say, "Look at us." And together they look at one another. Their attention is fixed on each other, and Peter then says, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And Peter takes this man by the hand and raises him up immediately, and his ankles are strong and his legs are strong, and he's able to walk into the temple along with Peter and John. So the three of them walk into the temple together, and people notice, obviously, because until this day, he'd been sitting outside the temple asking for alms. And they wondered with amazement how in the world this man could walk. So Peter addresses them by telling them that it is not the human power of Peter or John that raised this man to be able to walk, but the power of Jesus. And this message captivated and transformed the people who heard it, and it added 5,000 more to the number of believers that was already growing in great numbers since the beginning of the book of Acts. But while it transformed so many, it threatened the status quo of the current temple leadership. So that's where chapter 4 that Pastor Cieslik just read picks up. The temple leaders are concerned that Peter and John are proclaiming that there is a resurrection from the dead through Jesus. So as you heard, they arrest them. But the temple leaders are just as curious as everyone else at how the man who was unable to walk has now been healed. So they ask, And again, filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter answers, "This man has been healed in the name of Jesus." It is Jesus' power, not our own, that saves. It is Jesus' power that delivers us, that heals us, that raises us. By now it is clear the temple leaders recognize that Peter and John are indeed companions of Jesus. And yet they are so worried that this message of resurrection will spread that they order Peter and John to stop speaking in Jesus' name anymore. But Peter and John can't abide by it. They say, "Whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than God, you must judge, but we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard." Now, even for a Lutheran, reserved Lutheran girl like myself who prefers to be understated and behind the scenes, their boldness makes me want to cheer. And their boldness makes me ask the question, how does Jesus inspire me to confess and live my faith boldly today? I like to keep the peace. I don't like to stand out. But if there is one conviction with which I live now and have lived my whole life, it is this: the gospel of Jesus Christ changes lives for good. And even in my more reserved ways, I will do all that I can to make that good news known. Last night, we all learned that we may be entering another time of war, and of course, lots of emotion comes with an announcement like that. Conflict between national powers, but even between local powers and entities, seem to be par for the course these days. And I know that weighs on you, because I visit you during the week. I hear your stories out in the narthex. It's my privilege to get to pray with you in your deepest worries and in situations that you have a hard time seeing a way out of. And in these moments of conflict that are outside these doors of the church, or the conflicts that might be deep within, the question that arises is always, what can we do? And I'm reminded of a story shared with me many years ago. During the bombing raids of World War II, many children were left alone, and they were left without houses, so they would wonder and worry about where they would sleep or where their next meal would come from. Fortunately, many of them were brought to refugee camps where they did indeed receive food and shelter, but even though they were once again safe and well cared for, they were often unable to sleep because of their past trauma. Even though they were surrounded by a bunch of caring adults who did their best to reassure them, nothing reassured them until someone thought to send them to bed with a loaf of bread at night. They'd hold on to their bread, and holding on to their bread, these children were able to fall asleep, because if they woke up in the middle of the night, the bread would remind them that they ate that day, and they would eat again tomorrow. When we too find ourselves in moments of fear or loneliness or despair or misunderstanding for our beliefs, aren't we also simply longing for a piece of bread and nourishment, a word of hope that restores us to new life? It is in these moments that we, like the folks in the Acts passage today, are met by Jesus, the bread of life, the one who emboldens us to share our testimony with the world. Whether we speak it or not, as followers of Jesus, our lives are testimony to the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit wherever we go. Years ago, when I worked and lived in Seattle, Washington, in a job I deeply loved, because you've heard me talk about it so very much, I was surrounded by a community I deeply loved and who loved me so well as well. I received a letter letting me know that I'd been nominated or recommended by a pastor to attend the seminary here in St. Paul, which would bring me back to Minnesota, where I would live close to my family once again. I've always been convicted to live my faith, but I felt I was convicted to live my faith out in Seattle, so I was really in a hard place. I didn't know what to do. In fact, it tore me up so much inside that I spent days crying, and it just so happened that my grandma came out to visit from Wisconsin. And I'll never forget her words of wisdom that accompanied that visit. Though I would have preferred for her to just tell me what she thought I should do, instead she just said two simple words to me: be brave. And those two words, be brave, became the words of resurrection I needed at that time, and they become words of resurrection every time I'm curious about what the next step is. Just like Peter and John lifted the man who had spent his life unable to walk, just like God raised Jesus from the rejection of the establishment and the death and his death on the cross, my grandma's words, be brave, breathed the power of God's Holy Spirit and led me to take a leap of faith. I never would have thought I'd be a pastor. You've heard me say that over and over from this pulpit. And like anything worthwhile in life, being a pastor isn't always easy. But when Jesus is the center of it all, you can be sure that God's goodness, mercy, and abundant life will always be at your side. Thanks be to God. Amen.